Have you ever heard of a son paying back his dad in subtle ways? We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 tonight. And while you're going to Galatians chapter 5, we're into the qualities of parents. This is also something that you don't realize, but it'll be good qualities for any family member. So you can keep that in mind. So everybody wants to listen. But this has to do one day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette hair. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turn white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while, and then she said, "Mommy, how come all of your mother's, my grandmother's hairs are white?" Yeah, you better be careful how you try and manipulate children, right? And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Teenagers may not always be consistent. They may not always keep their promises to you or to God because they're still developing. But one thing for sure, you can't bluff teenagers. And we're going to look at this in just a minute, but I want to just say there was a survey taken by a youth pastor of a sizable Baptist church. And he asked all of the teenagers, he says, "What is it that you appreciate the most about your parents? What qualities do you have?" And he didn't give them any multiple guess or true or false or anything like that on this. This was fill in the blank. You have a blank sheet of paper and you write down what you appreciate the most about your parents. And what these teenagers came up was a number of answers answered in a number of different ways. And so he tried to distill it into categories. You know how you do one of those things? And he got it into categories, and this is what he came up with in his survey. My parents are controlled. Whenever I get out of whack and lose control, they stay steady, and I appreciate their being in control of themselves as well as us. Another one said that I appreciate the fact that my parents are compassionate. They're concerned about my needs, and so they sacrifice for my needs. Another one said, I appreciate a cheerful parent. They're happy, they're positive, there's joy, you know, in this situation. And another one said, well, my parents stay calm. There's just a peace about them, and that's what I appreciate. Another one said, well, they're kind. Another one said, they're confident. You know, and another one goes on to say that they're caring. And all of these got put together, and this youth pastor came up with a conclusion as he looked at them and analyzed them, that he was looking at a list that's found in Galatians 5. And we're going there tonight. Galatians 5, if you would stand and respect God's word, we've already read the negative side of this morning and looked at some of those things, but now we're in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we're going to have around your word, and I pray that it would be profitable to grandparents, to parents, as well as to teenagers and young people in general. Father, we know that this is something that you want to produce in all of our lives, but especially what a blessing it is when parents have it. And so I pray that you would just make clear the areas that we can strengthen, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The church where this survey was taken was Morningside Baptist Church, the church where we raised our children, basically. And the youth pastor was the youth pastor at one time for our daughter, and I think our son Michael for just a few years, a year or two or something like that. He came up with this conclusion when he analyzed it. These are the qualities that teenagers appreciate the most. But folks, these are the qualities that we appreciate about a mate or a husband-wife or children. We appreciate this in children, what we're going to look at tonight. There are 9 qualities listed here. If you ever want to do a study about Christ-likeness, here you have encapsulated in these 2 verses the likeness of Christ. These are the character qualities Christ exemplified, but tonight we're going to look at them through the aspect of Joseph and Mary. But you can see these in Christ's own personal life, what we know about him, but particularly on the cross of Calvary. You can see him exhibiting all 9 of these qualities, and that's a great study to take. But I would encourage you to study Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1 and 2 with this passage in a parenting perspective. First of all, we are going to read something. In fact, I forgot to put this up here with me, and I got to get a... Everybody I know needs one of these as a copy. It's the Linguistic Key to the Greek New Testament. And I'm sure everybody will have their devotions out of these after they get this book. But they put down definitions for these 9 words in a concise paragraph. It says, fruit is karpos, which is produced by growth. And then it says, because of the genitive of the Spirit, it indicates the source or cause of the fruit. The Holy Spirit is the cause of these things. So once again, if you're here tonight without Christ and without the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you can't do this. This is impossible because these are produced by the Spirit of God. The word agape is love. The word includes both love for God and love for fellow man. Kara is joy. It is a joy grounded in a conscious relationship to God. Erene is peace. Makrothumia is long-suffering. It's patient endurance under injuries. So it's enduring patiently under injuries inflicted by others. Really, I like the translation long-suffering because technically in the Greek, long-suffering applies to people responding to people, and patience has to do with responding to things and circumstances. But as we go on, it says this, Christesos, is the kindness or gentleness. It refers to kindly disposition toward one's neighbors. Agathosune is goodness. It refers to the active goodness as an energetic principle or its positive good. And pistis is faith. And it refers to faith and faithfulness both. Prautes is meekness or gentleness in submissiveness. And then we see in krateia, it is self-control, holding in our passions and our appetites. Now, you've had your Greek language lesson for the evening, and you can relax from here on out, all right? But we're going to look at this tonight because we want to look at Joseph and Mary in their experience as parents. Because God chose this young man and this young woman to be the parents of the Son of God. Wouldn't that be an astounding thought if God were to choose your family to bring the Son of God into the world and train him? What a thing that would be. Well, first of all, love is self-sacrifice for the benefit of another undeserving person when it has to do with people. And this is what we see in Joseph and Mary both. You know what this man sacrificed when God, through an angel, told him that his engaged wife-to-be is with child and not by him he knew? And thus, he is surrendering his reputation if he goes ahead and marries her. The sacrifice that he paid is his reputation is gone, possibly in the community, because if he marries her and the angel doesn't visit all of the people in that community and give them the same message, how are they going to believe him? He sacrificed for the benefit of God's glory and for this woman, Mary. She sacrificed. You remember in Luke chapter 1, after she was told that even though she was a virgin, she was going to have a child, what was her response? Her response is, I am yours, do whatever you want to with a handmaiden of the Lord. She gave her body and her reputation in order to do what God was asking her to do. Self-sacrifice for the benefit. And think of what she actually benefited. She benefited by bringing the Savior of us in this room to the Lord and salvation. So self-sacrifice for the benefit of others. You know, teenagers know when their parents are really sacrificing and when the parents are just bragging that they are really having a tough time providing for them. Now, a sacrifice is not to provide for the wants of your children. It's for the needs, and you must always distinguish about that. There's a tendency in North America today to give everything a child asks because their friends have it. And so there's pressure to give them what they want, but not what they really need. Sometimes your children need to be denied what they're wanting, and they need to be told to sacrifice. And that'll be the best thing that happens to them in their character development, to become people that sacrifice for the benefit of others. And then we see joy. When I think of joy here, I think in terms of what Mary said. After she had come to the realization that she really was going to, you remember Mary's Magnificat and how she celebrated? Let's go there just a moment and see what she said. Coming down through that section in Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at her. And here's what she said in Luke's gospel. At verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then right after that, we see that she has said in her speaking that in verse 47 of Luke 1, And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary is not a co-redemptor with Jesus Christ. She's not a Savior, as some religions teach. But she certainly is a sinner that needed a Savior. And she rejoiced that God was going to save her and forgive her, and He had done that for her. Hey, parents, how often do you share with your children the fact that God has saved you and forgiven you, and you rejoice before your children and share with them what a delight it is to be forgiven of God and all the goodness of God. Thankfulness. You remember this morning we were talking about the power of thankfulness? I really didn't bring it out, but in Colossians 3 and verse 15, there is the idea of giving thanks. In verse 16, there is the statement of giving thanks, singing with grace or thanks in your heart. And in verse 17, whatever we do, in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Three times in the row, He's driving home thankfulness. I can't emphasize that enough. That is a powerful thing in an individual's life overcoming sin, but it's a powerful thing in a family to have a thankful person. I had a mother just like that. Her name was called Ruth, and she was known as a jolly person or a joyful person. She was thankful. Praise God for a mother like that. And then we not only see the idea of compassion and cheerfulness in the joy aspect, but we see the calm. Peace is three definitions. If you're writing down definitions, they are unity, not divided. That's what the basic word Eirenia means, that which is not divided or separated. There is a united heart inside, but there's tranquility or calmness in that soul. There's no war going on inside. It's a peaceful or a tranquil heart. But also prosperity is behind this idea. In the Hebrew word shalom and the Greek word, there's an idea when you gave a greeting and you said, shalom, or the Greek word that matches this, you were saying prosperity. I want you to prosper. And so we see this peacefulness in the home. Is there fighting? I talked to someone here in my own experience and said, I was abused. I was sexually abused at public school. And my parents were arguing so much, and I went and offered an opportunity for my mom to help me, and she was in so much obligation and turmoil at home, she didn't respond to, and I didn't pursue it again. And that individual said, I lived for years under that shame and that difficulty of being sexually abused. And a lot of it had to do, she didn't get help from parents because there was fighting going on. There wasn't peace in the home. Oh, the blessing of peace, that parents are going to be calm and tranquil when you come to them with a problem. They're not going to overreact, but they're not going to be so distracted and in turmoil that they can hear you. What a blessing that is for parents to be that way. And then we see not only that, we see long-suffering. Long-suffering is makrothumia, which means long wrath or extending wrath. When I have been injured, and my mom used to say it this way, when your children are young, they can step all over your feet and hurt you that way. They're uncoordinated and they walk all over your toes. But when they're old, they have the ability to walk all over your heart and hurt you deeply. And a parent that doesn't always take everything so personal hurt and is long-suffering to see their children developed and don't overreact to the kid that's doing uncoordinated things, stepping on their foot, or doing irregular things as a teenager. Teenagers like that. That's a great quality, long-suffering. I'll suffer long under hurt before I take strength and go at someone or something. And then we see kindness or gentleness here. Think of this as far as Joseph and Mary. Joseph indicated, you know, that he was listening to the Lord and he was going to be kind to this woman before he heard from the Lord and said, she's with the Holy Spirit child is what's going to happen. What did he do? I'll put her away secretly. I won't shame her publicly. You know, you could publicly shame a woman that was immoral on you when you were betrothed to her, engaged to her in their society. And this man is kind. He's gentle. He's not going to take the strongest thing to shame. He is going to put her away privately and not make a shame of her. The best he can, he's kind and gentle. But then you think in terms of the goodness that's there. Both of them were good. When their son was back in Jerusalem at age 12, teaching their teachers about the law by questions and answers, they had been 5 days separated from their 12-year-old son, thinking, is he kidnapped, killed, devoured by an animal? They're searching for him. 1 day's journey this way, 1 day's journey back here, 3 days searching for him, and then they find him in the temple being pious, talking about religion. How would you be if you were a parent? We've been friends. We thought you were dead, you know? I can just see it, can't you? But they were gentle. Don't you realize we've been sorrowing for you, son? They didn't go heavy on him. Ah, what a wonderful mom and dad he had. And then we see not only this, we see faith. That word faith is translated in different translations as trust and dependence upon the Lord and faithfulness. You know what my answer is? It's political, but I believe it takes faith to have faithfulness. If you don't have a trust in God and believe Him, and that's exactly what Elizabeth told Mary. It says, blessed is she that hath believed the Lord. And we're going to stick this thing through. Think about all the things they had to do. They had to leave and go to Bethlehem for the birth. And she's with child. Think they have to go to Egypt then after Herod goes after them. And think about coming toward Jerusalem and, oh, no, we're not going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go up the way of the coast. Oh, these folks had faith in God, and they believed Him every time, and they acted in obedience every time they had a command, and they were faithful all the way to the end. Yes, confidence. Parents that have faith have confidence. And then we see the term gentleness or meekness in the King James Version. That's the eighth trait that teenagers appreciate. And what is it? Well, this is a word, when we think of meekness, we think, is this weakness? Moses said that he was the meekest man on earth. Was he a wimp? Was he effeminate, so to speak? No, he didn't go around and come up for the Mount Sinai with the tablets and see them in their idolatrous dancing, music, and all of this, sensualness. When he did, he didn't say, hey guys, would you stop? No, he said, you're sinning against God and you stop that. Aaron, why? What's going on? He's a strong guy. But this strength here speaks about gentle submission of rights. It's like a horse that's a wild stallion that's muscular and it has strength and speed. And there's a person comes into their life and breaks them to a point that that stallion submits to a human being and its power under submission or control. That's what meekness is. Hey, are you strong as parents? You've got power and strength and authority, but that power is under control to serve your master, first of all, but to serve those that he's assigned you to serve, your children, your family, your grandchildren. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Strength under control, surrendered, not claiming rights. Really, this has to do with surrender of rights. I have the right to exercise my authority of it. I'm going to do... No. Surrender of rights. And oh, think of Joseph and Mary, the rights they served. Have you ever thought about Mary having a wedding? A regular wedding that a girl would like to have. 7 days of feasting at her father-in-law's home. And having a room prepared, a place prepared at the father-in-law's house to live with her husband there. She never had this opportunity of a wedding and all that celebration and her bridesmaids going through the streets celebrating. She surrendered that. Wow. What else? You see, you just go through it. Surrendering rights. You know, someone put it this way. If we start demanding our rights in our home, we're in trouble, because if we teach rights, you get a revolution in our country. If we teach responsibility, we get a revival in our church. When people focus on their responsibilities and not their rights, you're going to have a revival. That's what's going to happen. Even a home, not just a church, but in a home. If everyone's looking at their responsibility, that's revival time. Well, we're going to look at the last one, and that is self-control or discipline or temperance, as it's stated, okay? And it literally means to have passions and desires in the hand, under control. We need to demonstrate that to our children in many ways so that they can model that after us. The way that we are balanced in our recreation as well as combination with working together and everything that goes on in the home, balanced. There's a spiritual emphasis. There's a social emphasis. There is also a mental emphasis. There is a physical emphasis. You know, Jesus grew as he submitted himself to these parents at the age of 12. And it says he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. All four areas. His parents demonstrated that, and he grew that way. I ask you tonight, how many of these qualities would your children say that you exhibit consistently in home? That's the question to ask.